Okay. It's always a good question to ask, why does the church exist? And here, and this is why it's a good question to ask in our culture, in our time. And here's why. There is a phenomenon that's going on in the Western church. And when I say the Western, in the Western world with the church there, I'm talking about Europe, North America, okay? And the phenomenon is this, is the number of people who identify with a Christian faith, who attend a faith community, who are part of a faith community, that are coming to the conclusion that church is, the church, institutional church, is no longer relevant, and they're checking out. Not checking out of their faith, but they're checking out. They're saying, you know what? My life is too busy. This is not important enough. Which begs the question, well, of course we want to know why, and there's a lot of people who are speculating as to why. But rather than trying to speculate why, we need to go, why does the church even exist? Well, here's a known fact. Because people say, I don't need to attend a service on any given time to have a relationship with God. True, you don't. God's present everywhere. I do question whether you can have a focused time of worship, of relational connection with God when you're driving, commuting to work. Some folks say they do because they throw on a CD or that. Now, I say it's minimal at best. However, there is a truth to this fact. 100 people, 100 individual people cannot do as much or have as much of an impact as 100 people that are together focused on a mission on a project or on where they're going. That's a fact. That has nothing to do with the church or the Holy Spirit that empowers in that. It's a fact. It's that thing called synergy. It's that thing that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You've heard that phrase? That's a fact. When you bring people together, when you take five people, bring them together to focus on one task, they will accomplish more than if those five people work towards that individually. That's a fact. But if you factor in that the empowering of the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in Acts, which is fundamental. When you factor that in with people that come together and Jesus joins that group of followers, changes the world. Jesus' vision, his mandate was huge. Because in Acts, he didn't remember. Let's broaden the 12 to 120, because there was roughly 120 people in the upper room, right? Even 120, right? They didn't have these things. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have that. They had chariots at best, maybe horses, boats. At best, and the mandate given wasn't, I want you to win all the people in Jerusalem. It was, I want you guys to, I want you to go into all the world. What? Huh? Yeah, I want you to actually go into all the world. I want you to go all over the place, everywhere. You name it, you go. Right? And that was the mandate that was given. So let's talk about Acts, because Acts is a fundamental book here, because it'll remind us what we're to be about, but it'll remind us what we anchor to, what Jesus anchored to, because what Jesus never did, and here's the odd thing, right? Because if you had a company, if you had this vision for a company, an organization in your head, and you were going to give it over to some people who are close to your close friends, wouldn't you lay out a business plan? here's what I want you to follow so you don't mess things up, right? And he never did. I have a book over in my bookcase. It's called Doing Church by a vineyard guy from South Africa. But Jesus never gave them a book that said Doing Church. Follow this and you won't mess it up, right? He didn't do that. And here's the other thing. A lot of times we read what's in Scripture as if that's a past event that took place. And we read about it. And actually, Acts is simply the events that took place, the significant events that took place that Luke recorded, and then at some point it came to an end, right? Because Paul was executed in that. And Acts 28 is the last chapter. All we are is Acts 29. And the question is, Luke will write about us. What would you have him write? What would you have him write? What would he write? What would Luke have to say about us? Because he was a very thorough historian. He checked things twice, three times, four times. He went to his sources. He found out if it exactly is what people were saying about things. And he went. He was with some of the disciples on their missionary journeys. He saw firsthand and he recorded. He was very methodical. We are Acts 29. That's what we have to understand. What you read in Acts, we're just the continuation of it. Which then you have to go back to the beginning of Acts, even into the Gospels, and what was Jesus calling us to do, to be about? What was he calling? So, and you find out the three anchors that we anchor into in the first eight verses of Acts. And I'm going to read that to you. And this is what he writes. He says, in my first book, I told you Theophilus. And Theophilus, by the way, was just a close friend of Luke. It was sort of like somebody coming to you and saying, what's this up with this Jesus guy anyway? What's up with all these people that they call themselves the way? Luke gives a very detailed account in his gospel and then volume 2 in the Acts of the Apostles. Two volumes he writes to Theophilus. Theophilus asks the question, he gets the answer, right? So in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Obviously, there was doubts that you guys were just imagining things. Luke checked it out, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. First clue there, okay? Talk to them about the kingdom of God. I said to the Luke Acts VQIP group that we're doing right now, I said, man, why didn't Luke record what he talked to them about the kingdom of God? He just says he talked to them about the kingdom of God, but what about? Come on, Luke. Goes on, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. They are not for you to know. By the way, same words for us. If you are fascinated with end times, give it up, because you're not going to know the dates. Not going to happen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in that wee little bit, you find the three. He doesn't tell them a plan. As far as how you gather what you do, I think that is incidental to some degree to Jesus. That's not the point, what happens when you gather. What's important is that you don't forget these three anchor things. And one is, if you go back to the first part there, the last line, he talked to them about the kingdom. That anchor. Because through every gospel and through Acts, you hear them talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And the next thing, wait. Don't think you're going to do this on your own. You're not. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's pivotal. Can't forget that. You anchor to that. And then lastly, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Where? Everywhere. Everywhere. So we're going to hit those three things over the next 3 weeks. So, of course, the first thing we're going to talk about is what I've called the king's domain or the kingdom. And here's the thing. We have a king. There's a king in the house. Like, seriously. You know how last Monday, new prime minister is in the house? And he's promised change? People are waiting. When the Messiah came, new king in the house. There's a king. And he's changing things. And if you don't see it, you got to take a few steps back and look at what's going on. Look at what has gone on. And try to imagine what's going to continue to go on. If you don't think there's much happening here, when I say here, in North America, check out China. Right? Check out Africa. Check out some of these places where things are just steamrolling. Okay? Just steamrolling. The king, we have a king, and that king has a domain. The domain is wherever he's allowed to rule and reign, he will bring his kingdom. Okay? So the question is, so what do you mean where he's allowed to rule and reign? In your life, in my life, where he's allowed to rule and reign, you can expect the king to show up. He is that, and he is generous in his desire to reveal himself to us. Generous. Generous. He's just generous. Yeah, I'm not going to go into a lot of that. The other thing, beautiful thing about the king and the kingdom, I'm not a subject, and you're not a subject of the king. You're not a serf. You're not one of his, you know, peons that just go and do my bidding for me, right? You're not that. You're not just a citizen. You don't just have a citizenship card. You're a friend of the king. You're a friend of the king. He says that. The king says that. You're my friends. More than that, you're adopted into his family. We are sons and daughters. If you're a follower, you're a son and a daughter of the king. How does that make you feel? Right? Who's your dad? Well, let me show you my dad. Let me show you my parent. Right there. Right there. Right? That's the reality of the kingdom, of what it's all about. Thirdly, the king has an announcement. Most do. They have an address they have to make, right? In the U.S., they have the, what do they call it? State of the Union address. I'm sure at some point Justin Trudeau will give his address to Canada, talk to Canada about what they're going to be doing and stuff. Guess what? This king has an announcement to make. And it's about what he's about. And you hear all the politicians tell what they're about, right? You hear it. You hear the spiel all the time. This is no spiel. Luke records this one. See, Luke's all about the kingdom. He's on this. He's on this big time, and he wants to get the message out. In Luke, he records a story when Jesus was in his hometown, was going through. He was involved in his ministry, had his disciples. He went to his hometown, went into the synagogue on a Saturday, And they gave him the reading to do. They invited him to do the reading because he was a rabbi. And they gave him Isaiah. And he found Isaiah 61 and he read from Isaiah 61. He stood up and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Now, that was his announcement. Now, I don't know if Trudeau can beat that one. Right? Right? But this wasn't any, "We're going to try." He wasn't saying, "We're going to try and get good news to the poor people. We're going to, try and release some captives. We're going to," No. He was very certain. He was very certain. And in Luke's gospel, it says that when Jesus had finished reading that, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, sat down, and said, "This prophecy is fulfilled today." And nobody said hallelujah. No, they didn't. He was not popular at all. But that was his announcement. But what I want you to notice about the announcement, it tells you what Jesus is for, not what he's against. Okay? And we are a people. That he announces that, that's what we're to announce. John says in his gospel, after Jesus had resurrected, he breathed on his disciples, told them to receive the Holy Spirit, and he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The Father sent him to give this announcement, and he's sending us to give the same announcement, to walk that out, to be that. That's the announcement. That's what we're for, not what we're against. We should never talk about what we're against or what we're not, right? Canadians do that sometimes. What's a Canadian? Well, we're not American. we're not about this. We're not. No. What are you for? What are you for? Right? What are you for? What are you about? But we're to announce it. Does that mean speak it? Maybe. But not primarily. Live it. Announce it with your life. Announce it with your life, how you live, how people see you. You should be different. I should be different. Right? Why? Because the kingdom announcement, it brings changes. It changes things. And if I am the king's son, and you're the king's daughter, or whatever, should you be different? And I don't mean be different because you gotta try and be different. I'm not talking about that. I mean your thought process should be different, right? Right? Because you're a different culture. You'd think differently. You think that we do things different. Well, it changes. It changes. I wrote down a few things. It changes my lifestyle, how I function, how I operate. It changes my perspective on life. It's just like, we know what's coming, and we know how to view life. We know there's a king here. It changes how you feel about things. Listen, if Justin Trudeau rocks this country, if he does an awesome job, people will wake up with a different perspective on their day. They just will. It'll feel better, right? And you start hearing, the stocks are going up. Look, fantastic, right? And you have a smile on your face. And it can be pouring rain. You could be stuck in traffic, but you're happy because Justin Trudeau's in the house, right? You know what I mean? Right? It changes things. And it changes that the king is in the house. It changes things. The kingdom of God matters. Right? And we do things differently. We just do. We bless. We can bless our enemies. Why? It's just what we do. We can, what Jesus said, turn the other cheek. If you insult me, We don't get offended. Why? Why would we? Because we don't. Because it's who we are. Right? We can do unto others as we would want others to do to us. Why? Because that's just who we are. We can love our neighbors as ourselves. Why? That's why we do light up the night. We can do that. Why? Well, that's just what we do. Put it into context. Overall, generally speaking, Canadians don't understand the Americans. How do I say this? The Americans, they embrace that constitutional right to bear arms. Absolutely, I should pack a revolver on here. Never know, right? Canadians don't understand that. What do you got to carry a gun for? Why do you do that? We don't get it. Why? We're Canadian. We don't get that. We're peacemakers, right? It's true. American military, go in, kick butt. Canadian military, we go in and we want to serve. That's a reputation. What I'm trying to point out here is that we have a different perspective on life. And that as we have a king, that's who we serve. That's who we are. That's who forms us, who shapes our thinking. We listen to. That's why we read. That's why I read the Gospels, because I want my mind to be reshaped, right? That's why we want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to have King Spirit in us. We want to see like what the king sees. That's what we want to be about, right? That's you following me? One of the things about the kingdom, in that announcement, so we are the church that what? Good news for poor people, right? We release captives. We want to see the oppressed release. We want to see the blind to see. And did you know what? You know what this is the beauty of the king in the house? It's the year of the Lord's favor. That's what it says. That's the era. Right? We live in an era right now of God's favor. And I believe so we can go, okay, so we can expect his kingdom to break through when we pray. We can expect things to happen when we do the opposite of what normally takes place right with people, right? When I love my enemy, right? When I bless those who curse me. When somebody wants, needs some money, and you can have more than money. I'll give you double what you need, right? When we do those things, we can expect. When we pray for people, we can expect the kingdom to break through. Now, well, does it always break through? No. Why? Because that's what Jesus brought. What the king is bringing is the feast, right? That's what's coming when after the history of humanity is going to be this feast. It's going to be this time of what we've never experienced before, right? What we've never experienced. But the king came, and we get glimpses of it. We get those hors d'oeuvres. We get those tastes. Ah, that's what's coming. That's what's coming. So when you see a healing, that's why everybody can hip, hip, hooray when you hear of someone healed. Because why? Not because, why did they and not me? No. It's a sign of the king. The king is here. The king's here. Did you know the king's here, right? Guaranteed. Won't guarantee that. Well, maybe. If Justin Trudeau came in with his entourage, right, into Cambridge, into the Galt, into Allison neighborhood, that buzzword would go around, right? Did you see his car? You know, it'd be like that for some. Grant, for some. But you know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. We are people that expect the kingdom. We expect it. It could happen. It might not happen today, but it might happen tomorrow. Right? We should be that optimistic about it. That optimistic. And I confess, I'm not always that optimistic sometimes. Because it's very easy in this world, in this life, to become pessimistic. But I want to, right? I want to, and I, you know, that's my prayer. But we should be optimistic. I think of that story. It's just a made-up story, right? But about optimism. You've heard it before. Little boy, so optimistic, it bothered his mother. He was so optimistic, right? He was always optimistic about everything. It could be a terrible day, and he's optimistic, thinking the best is going to happen, right? And she took him to a psychiatrist, and she said, I don't know what to do with this guy, little guy. He's just optimistic. And the psychiatrist said, yeah, you do have a problem. We need to do something. I know what we'll do. So they had a room over here, and we're going to put the boy in this room so we can examine him, study him. And in that room was just a big pile of horse manure. And that'll discourage him, because if he's just in a room where there's just horse manure, that's got to bring that optimism down a bit, right? So they're watching. And the little boy is digging away in the horse manure. They go, wow, what's going on? And so they open the door to listen, and they hear the little boy going, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere, right? But, right, we got to be that optimistic. The expectation, that's expectation, right? On the one hand, it makes sense, right? If there's horse manure, there's got to be a horse, right? Right, there's got to be, right? You know what I mean. But let's be the people who expect the kingdom. Kingdom is central. It's what we anchor to. While we're waiting for the kingdom to break through, what do we do? You know what we do? We be the kingdom. We be it. We be it. We be that Matthew 25 where we visit those who are in prison. We care for the sick. We clothe the naked, right? We feed the hungry. We give water to the thirsty. We be the people who, you know, do unto others. We be the people who love our neighbors. That's what Christ calls us to. That's what we do. We be the kingdom. We pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth. That doesn't mean we be passive and wait. We are to be that. That's what Jesus did. He didn't say, Father, just, you know, let your kingdom come, and just sat back and waited. Jesus went about doing good, right? He went about doing that. He did it. It was very real, very tangible. And when you have opportunities to bring the kingdom, bring it. Why? It flips the world. People don't get it, right? Why are you doing that? It's because who we are. It's who I am. It's why I do it. Why wouldn't I? Right? It has to be like you're Canadian. Why do you do that? Why do you say sorry all the time? I don't know. I just do. Sorry. You know, that's what we do, right? But it has to be that ingrained in us. You get it? And I want to say, Daisy, when you go to Springdale, you and Ron, expect the kingdom there. Just cause in that little church, expect the kingdom. And when you're waiting for it, be it. And you have been for us. You have been. You've shown it. You've demonstrated that. I don't know if you see it. No, you don't see it. Okay. You have, right? But it should be that. It should be like that, though. That. It should be like that when, if an American, you know, was having dinner with you, they'd go, oh, you're Canadian, all right. I am? Yeah, eh? Right? It should be like that, though. They really? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're so Canadian. Oh, okay. Right? But it should be like that. But people go, oh, yeah, obviously I know who your king is. I know who you follow. Peter got a compliment when Jesus was being tried at his trial. When that woman came up to him and said, you're one of them. Fear got a hold of Peter, right? No. Yeah, you smell like him. All right? You talk like a Galilean. You're one of them. That's a compliment. Peter realized it. I think he realized it afterwards. Right? He realized it. Because he fully embraced the kingdom. For those on the Brazil mission team, you're heading down. The jet's warming up. Expect the kingdom. Expect it. And while you're waiting for it, be the kingdom. Be the kingdom. Be it. And the reason I believe mission teams experience more things happening is because our mindset. You expect it to happen when you go on a mission trip. You expect it. Something's going to happen. We expect it. It happens. Because God is so generous to break through. When we come back, we think, oh, no. We don't. Our expectation goes down. Right? Expect it. Expect it. The kingdom is in the house. Now, we're gonna be the kingdom right now. And we're going to do something I haven't done in a while. Do you remember when Jen and Phil and Luke and Faith went to Brazil? Does anybody remember what we did? What? Tunnel. I'm going to stretch you guys. That's okay. That's just because I prayed about what to do today for Daisy. Daisy's eyes go, what? And the Brazil team. We want to bless you guys. We want to bless you. We want to send you out with such a blessing that it's going to spin you. So, what we do, you don't forget. So, now if you're visiting and you're going, what are you doing? What's going to happen? What was that? Did I hear that correctly? It's really what it is. We just line up on two sides and we just, as they walk through, we just bless them with the Holy Spirit, right? Now you may have a word for them or something like that. It's probably best if you write that out and give it to them afterwards. Otherwise, you hold up the line, you do a traffic jam. Not that that's a bad thing, but, you know. How many are scared? Hey. The only people that should be scared are the people walking through, right? So we don't have to be scared, the rest of us. We get to bless, and blessing is fun. So we got to have room. So I'm looking at this, and here's what I'd like to, those people who are sitting on the edge here, I'd like you to give up your chairs, and just all I would like you to do is pick them up, and if you can, put them on top of the chair beside you. Like they can stack. Stack them on top of that chair beside you. So we can just have a bit of a wider. And then if we could have the doors open into the lobby. And if anybody's out there chatting, they're going to get involved in this and they don't even know it.